Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, that's a verse that a lot of people know. But I thought about that, and just to be honest with you, and I suspect you're the same as me, usually when that verse comes to my mind, it's because I'm thinking about somebody else's pride, probably exclusively. I don't remember it when I'm an idiot. I remember it when somebody else is an idiot. Pride is at the root of every other sin. To sin is to disobey God. And it takes great pride to do that in any form. It's rebellion against the God that made you and gives you your every breath, and whose judgment hangs over your head by nature. We've seen how that a proud look is the first on the list of things that God hates. In Proverbs 6:17, a proud look is number one on that list of things that God hates. And a proud look comes from a proud heart. And God hates it. That ought to get our attention, because we all exhibit pride every day. Turn with me to Proverbs 21, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 21, and verse 4. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now think about this with me for a little while. Pride is an enormous subject. All through the scripture we could do a series on pride and take months to do it. But I wanted to go the other way this morning and try to teach us in a simple illustration, a simple example, what pride is and why God hates it. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. What does plowing your fields have to do with being proud? Well, let's think about this. The last part of this verse is true. The plowing is sin because the first part is true. A high look, a proud heart. Remember the rich young ruler? Think about what plowing represented in those days. Plowing was just a man's everyday work. Most men, I suspect, did some plowing, if not all. How much land you had to plow would result in how much produce you could grow. You could farm, and your ability to do it well. You know, everybody's got their secrets, you know, their gardening or farming secrets, you know. And I'm sure men took great pride in that, because what we do every day, we take pride in it. And there's a right kind of pride. And there's a wrong kind of pride. You shouldn't just do what you do in a lackadaisical way and don't take any, not be conscientious about what you do. That's important. But this plowing, it had to do with a man's status. Again, how much land he plowed and how he did it and how much produce he could produce was his status, his family status in this world. So a man going about plowing his field was the equivalent of a man today doing what he does, succeeding to one degree or another, running a small business or in sales of some kind or whatever you do. It's sin. It's sin. Your daily business is sin. What you do every day is get up and sin. And me too. What your family is supported with is sin. If it's done just to increase self, to increase your status, to pad your bank account, and not for the glory of God. If you don't see what the glory of God has to do with you making another sale, then it's evil. It's evil. Remember what Cain offered to the Lord? Let me read it to you. Genesis 4:2. And again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And notice that the two men were tied to their offering. It wasn't Cain that God didn't have respect. It was Cain and his offering. That was the problem. He had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. As a tiller of the ground, your pay was what the ground produced, the fruit of the ground. The Lord said, by the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread. And they did, and we do. And they tilled and plowed and sowed and watered and weeded and everything you have to do to get produce. And the pay was the produce. It was as if Cain offered money to the Lord to redeem his soul. That's what he was doing. And Abel's offering cost him something too. But he offered it by faith. The scriptures tell us that. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel submitted to God's way of salvation by the blood of an innocent victim. By faith in Christ, and his offering for sin, once for all, Abel offered that lamb. Cain thought that what he had earned by the work of his hands could save him. And a whole lot of people still do. False religion preaches the earning of God's favor by the works that you do. They preach it. And men love it. And that may be the epitome of pride. Think about the spiritual reality of this. Not only is it terrible pride to imagine that anything you've ever done or ever will do could ever measure up to God's holiness. Can you see the pride in that? Oh, I can do, you know, I've done some bad things, but I've done some good things too. Really? By whose definition? But think about this. God has sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for sinners, to live and die for sinners, to be the righteousness and the sin offering for sinners. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows that. It wasn't done in a corner. So when you think for one second that you can measure up to the holiness that God requires, you're also trampling under your wretched feet the blood of God's Son. You're saying, I don't need a sacrifice. I just need a chance to do the right thing. I don't need a substitute. I just need an opportunity. I don't need the blood of God's Son. I just need to make a decision. What do you honestly think your decision is worth to God? anybody that might think that way. What do you think your decision is worth to God Almighty? The only thing worth anything to God is the blood of His Son poured out on Calvary, the precious, priceless blood that our Savior shed for our sins. That's the precious blood of Christ. To imagine that God will accept anything or anyone else is abominable pride. It's to think that you can measure up, that you can actually be as holy as God, because that's what it takes. Anything less is sin. And I'll tell you this, and we'll close early this morning. Like I said, we could spend months on this, but I wanted to go the other way and show you how pride, it emanates throughout our daily life. And there are spiritual ramifications to that. It's to imagine that we can ever please God or be acceptable unto Him by what we do or who we are. And that's great, great pride. And God has promised destruction for that. I tried to think, and I haven't studied through all and tried to find it. There may be a place where some other sin, God has said, I'll destroy you for that. That's the only one I could think of this morning. Pride. I'll destroy you. I will absolutely destroy you. That's what God says in our text. And pride in everyday matters. Of course, we all have it in us. It's an insidious thing. But pride in everyday matters, a high look while you're plowing your fields, or whatever your equivalent to that is an abomination unto God. And it's a dead sure sign of spiritual pride. If you can live your life continually thinking that God is pleased with what you do, and that what you do, you've earned it, and you'll enjoy it, and it's done for the lust of your flesh, and that's it. And there's a root cause to that. It has to do with how you estimate who God is, and what you are. Pride is a subtle thing. It's very easy to believe in free grace and yet in practice think that God is impressed with you. And that's why Paul said, and often in Scripture we're exhorted unto good works, because as James said, faith without works is dead. Doesn't mean your works have to measure up to God, but what it does mean, because they won't, and they never have, they never will, but what it does mean is when you humble yourself before God in your heart and know that it's only by His free grace, that if He put you in hell, it'd be the right thing to do. But by His grace, you've obtained mercy with God. That'll show in everything you do. That'll show every day also in your life, just as your sin shows up. But that's why Paul said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Because if your conduct is not without covetousness, then what difference does it make if your doctrine is? You see what I'm saying? That's what James was talking about. A man can say, I have faith. But he said, show me your faith without works. faith is shown by works. We're not to judge one another based on that, but it's just the truth of Scripture. It's going to get out on you. You're going to worship Him. You're not going to live. We don't henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto Him which died for us and rose again. And you can't see that looking at me. What difference would it make if you could? It's not about that. It's such a subtle thing. Was the rich young ruler covetous or proud? When he said, "Boy, look at all my stuff. I'm going to have to tear down these little barns and build bigger ones. And I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry, enjoying all the stuff I've earned." Was he covetous or proud? They go together, don't they? Every sin and pride go together. Every one of them. And my prayer just simply is this: may God keep us at His feet. May He keep us at His feet, where we belong. Amen.